we have an action-filled next 30 minutes. We're planning on, first of all, we'd like to hear from the group that went to Cherokee for the Cherokee missions trip. So Jeff Wendt is going to come forward and introduce that group, but we're also going to hear from two of our young people who went along with and give a little testimony of what the trip meant to them. We also have a great privilege, as we've already talked about tonight, of having Becky White come with us. Becky is she's been supported from Second Presbyterian Church for quite a few years now at Christ College, and we're excited about hearing about what's going on at Christ College. And I have also asked that Ms. Ramona White introduce Becky to us for that time, because Ramona certainly has a heart for what's going on at Christ College right now. So right after we hear from Cherokee, we'll have Becky White, Ramona White, come forward. So, Jeff.
Good evening, everybody. Several weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had the great privilege to join 10 of our young people to the mission trip to the Cherokee Reservation in North Carolina. We had the 8 individuals seated on the front row here: Grace Schwanevelt, we had Lindsay Vanderway, Amelia Gray, Addie Merrillett, Caleb Ikarma, Katie Upton, Ethan Russell, and Nathan Ikarma, and we also had 2 more, Ashley Crunk and Sam Stiles, also went with us. We had 10 young people, myself, Scott Cook, and his wife, Christina. And it was an incredible privilege to take this particular group, which was really a good representative sample of our young people in general, to this mission trip. And I came away thoroughly impressed with the quality of our young people, the spiritual growth of our young people, and just the sweet spirit of our young people. I'll give you a couple of general things that we did, and 2 of them are going to come and give you some of the specifics of what we did. It was a combined effort of a work type trip and also a missions vacation Bible school trip. The work that we did was organized through Mission to the World's efforts in the reservation through the community needs welfare type office for homes and people that needed help on their homes. And the particular job that we did was preparing a gentleman's house to be painted later that summer. Part of it was going to be enclosed in and some construction done, but we were doing the outside preparation for painting. And it was interesting to see this gentleman. He was a Christian man, an older gentleman, and he had just recently found out that he had brain cancer coming back, and he's going through all these treatments. And we are there helping him in his house, and the man's faith was quite impressive, and he was just a shining example of the grace of God in a very difficult life. And he was even a rebuke to our spirit, saying, you know, who am I to complain when the good Lord has been so kind to me my whole life? It was just a blessing to see that from a man who had, really from the outside perspective, not a whole lot to be thankful for. And the other thing that was interesting about the work unit was seeing our teenagers, and any of you who have been in a workplace long enough know that it's very difficult to find people who, rather than looking for ways not to work, are looking for ways to work. And our young people were constantly coming up to us, what else can I do? I'm done with my task. I'd like a new one. And that was a neat thing to see. The main impact of the trip, though, for all of us, if I could speak for the group, was the Vacation Bible School missions that we did. Our young people organized it, and they carried it out, and they did an amazing job. We had to do a curriculum. We had to organize games. We did crafts, and we brought all the supplies for it. And it was at a day camp for young children who are on the reservation. And what was so impactful about this was the fact that this is about 30 or so young people who came from absolutely broken situations. And it'll get to you. And these are little kids who would freely tell you about the situations in their lives, like their father's drug habits and the abuse that they had been through. And they soaked up the love that our young people showed them like sponges. and it was neat to watch. And when you get to the end of the week, after you've shared the gospel with these young children, and you've shared love with these young children, and you've taught them how to play games together and do crafts, and when you see them sad for you to leave, it leaves a mark. And it was a privilege to be there with our young people because I got to watch them pour their lives into people who were much worse off than you would think and you normally see in your daily life. Seeing on one of the days in particular, just a snapshot of one of our young men leading a group of young Cherokee Indian boys saying the Lord's Prayer together. It was very moving. And so I had the great privilege of leading, but our young people did all the work. And so I'm going to hand it over to a couple of them now to give you some of the specifics and some of the things that meant a lot to them as they did this. And I just wanted to give you that report, and you should be very thankful and very proud of the covenant children that are growing up in this church. Thank you.
Hi. So I'm going to talk about the vacation Bible school that we did. We would go in the morning to the daycare center and start out playing games with them because these kids were really energetic and they needed to be able to get their wiggles out. So we would play a lot of games with them, and then we would have a lesson time, and we were doing kind of like an upward bound theme, like we're, you know, upward bound toward heaven, and kind of paired off to teach it among the youth group. And we would teach the lesson and then play some more games, and we would have a craft time with a craft that was based on the lesson loosely, something that they could remember what they had learned. And we would also have snack and stuff, but we just mainly just spent a lot of time with them one-on-one, playing games, just showing them that we cared and listening to what they had to tell us. They just wanted someone to listen to them. They would talk and talk your ears off. There was one little boy, and he loved dinosaurs, and he would just talk forever about dinosaurs. And he was also one that at the end of the week, we were talking about heaven, and we were reviewing, and they were asked, what is heaven? And he just said, a wonderful place. And that was incredibly moving to all of us, just really stuck with us. They all had crazy little personalities and just really stick with you. One little boy in particular, I was with him, and he was about five, and he just looked up at me, and he said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 18. And he said, well, now you have to get a gun. So it's like, okay, then I'll do that. Get right on it. But they just, I mean, they're really sweet kids that just, they just need someone to love them and show them that they care. And we had one boy accept Christ. One of us had the chance to take him aside, and Sam asked him if he had been to church. He said he'd been a few times, but he'd never accepted Christ. And Sam asked him, well, would you like to do that? And he said, yes, please. I didn't know how before. So Sam walked him through it, and he accepted Christ. So you can be in prayer for Bill. We loved every minute of it. And just sharing the gospel with these kids. Christina Cook gave her Bible to one of the little boys because he said he never had a Bible before. And it was amazing to be with them. Very life-changing. So, yeah.
I'll go over a little bit of what we did as far as the construction projects. Jeff already talked about it a little bit, but essentially we prepped it to be painted. And last year we actually got the opportunity to paint the house. And so it was kind of, going into it, I was kind of like, well, we're just prepping it for paint. It doesn't seem like we're going to have that much to do. So, I mean, it was kind of a small task, but it was necessary. And it was, we all had went in there with the mindset to doing it for God's glory. So that, made it seem that much more important. And the man we were doing the job for at his house, Jeff already went over a little bit, but I just want to, repeat what he said about how inspiring it was that, you know, this man was suffering from brain cancer, and, you know, he didn't have that much longer to live, but he was trusting God and taking it day by day, you know, every single day, and that is, you know, truly inspiring for all of us. Me especially, all you're looking forward to is, like, the future, you know, looking forward to going to college and growing up and everything, and, you know, you're not enjoying the present as much. And so that really helped me to refocus on my life and focus on the now and what I can do, you know, to best serve God in my life right now. And I'll go a little bit over VBS because it was such an amazing experience. I mean, I could talk about it for hours, really. But it was a really humbling experience, and it was really amazing to see how receptive the kids were to the lessons we taught them. It was amazing to see how God used us as vessels to teach these children, because a lot of them, you know, they didn't have really a background of church at all. They didn't understand really any concepts of theology, and it was almost a blank canvas. And, you know, we went in there, we taught them the lessons that we prepared, and we would ask them, like, we would review questions with them, and you would hear their answers, and you knew that, like, those words, that, like, the words that we told them, you know, really sank in, because the way that they, you know, the answers, they always had, like, knew right away. We didn't have to, there wasn't an awkward silence or dead air when we asked a question. A kid would raise their hand, and they would immediately know, like, exactly what the question, or the answer to the question was. And throughout the week, as she was talking about, we did crafts. And one craft we did was the bracelet, which I'm sure, you know, everyone would recognize, that has the different colored beads representing the different aspects of our faith. And, like, Christ's blood, you know, the fall, like, the different colors representing all those. And this one kid came up to me, and he asked me, you know, what each bead meant. And so I tried to, you know, explain and walk it through. And it didn't seem like he was really getting it. And he asked me to explain it again. And after the second time, I, you know, asked him if he could, you know, repeat what each bead meant. And he repeated it to me in a way, in his own words, in a way that really felt like those, you know, those really stuck with him. And after that, he said, it's really cool because he's had bracelets before, but he'd never had one that had meaning. And he wanted to go home and tell his parents and his brother about it. And that just really tore at my heartstrings, because it was just amazing to see the way that God would use little things like that to move these children's lives. Definitely the most heartbreaking part was the goodbyes. I mean, all the little kids were holding on to you and asking you to please stay, and that will tear you up. But it's a good sadness, because it's almost like God used this in a way to make an impact, such an impact that the goodbyes were so hard, because it was a meaningful goodbye. It was heartbreaking, really, but it was definitely a great experience. And I know every single person that went on this trip, every single, you know, member of the team, will tell you that it changed our lives. It changed every single one of our lives, created new perspectives, helped us to refocus and reevaluate, you know, the way that we're worshiping our God and the way what we're doing every single day. For me, I mean, especially, it definitely moved me like that. And I'm just very thankful for the opportunity that I was given to go on this missions trip. And I would recommend it to anyone else that can still go, anyone, you know, juniors. I mean, I can't go next year because I've graduated already. But anyone else that can go, I would definitely recommend it. It's a life-changing experience. Thank you.
This is so very special to me. I'm so excited to have three people with me that I love tonight. I always have lots of people that I love, but these came from farther than most everybody else. But anyway, I have so much respect and so much admiration for the Whites and Barbara and David back here and Becky. And when I was asked to introduce Becky, you know, I could have said, well, this is a lady who needs no introduction. But then I wouldn't have gotten to say anything. So anyway, Becky was such an inspiration to me, such a help to me. I felt at times like a child because she helped me with so many things there. But this is Becky's life. She's a teacher. And she's lots of fun. She always had something fun to do, and she knew all the best walks. She rode her bike. I didn't ride the bike with her, but I did ride the motor scooter. Remember I told you about that? And I told you sometimes we got so close to cars that my knees would touch them. It was because she was driving, and I would have to sort of make sure that my knee was a little bit close. Otherwise, it was going to catch a door there. But anyway, Becky prayed with me. She helped me. She gave me guidance. But that's not unusual for her. And I'll just tell you, she's just a young woman who loves the Lord and is being used in the ministry there in teaching and guiding. I don't know all the numbers, but the young men and women from China. And God is using her in so many lives. And I feel privileged to be able to just say a few words before she speaks to you tonight. I saw her this morning at 11 o'clock. The Whites and Becky, we met at Panera's, and Becky said, "It looks strange seeing you here." And I said, "It looks strange seeing you here." But anyway, she's not strange here tonight. And Becky, it's yours.
Thank you. All right, I think we're going to have some pictures, if it works. What do I need to do? I need to turn it on, plug it in? Okay. Hey, good deal. Oh, and those will get big. Okay, all right, thank you. Well, greetings from Taiwan and Christ College. It's good to be back with you. And it was really good for you guys to send Ramona to us. We appreciate the help. That semester, but also continuing help, because I know she continues to represent Christ College here at your church, and I know she continues to pray for us and help with marketing and promotions whenever possible. Most of you know that we're in Taiwan. Taiwan is that teeny tiny kind of tobacco-shaped leaf country that's right next to the big country of China. We're in the northern part, just outside of Taipei, the capital city. Christ College, as most of you know, is a four-year Christian liberal arts college. But maybe you don't know that as far as we can discover so far, it is the only Christian liberal arts college in the world that is specifically directed toward Chinese-speaking students. I think that's quite a privilege to be able to work at such a place, such a unique place. Christ College has been around for 55 years. It was started by an old China missionary. We are not a young school. We have lots of experience. We have lots of good things going on at Christ College. That's our chapel right there, and you can see how the tall buildings have grown up around us, not quite like Chicago, but a lot of tall buildings around us, 30 stories. At Christ College, we currently have about 280 students. That is a relatively small number for us. We have had up to 1,000 students in the past, but Taiwan has the lowest birth rate in the world right now. People aren't having kids, so schools aren't having students, and all the universities are competing right now for students. We're very thankful that in the last couple of years, we've had an influx of students from mainland China. We're thankful because it boosts our numbers, of course, but we're excited to have the opportunity to minister to students who come from mainland China, students who otherwise would probably not have a college to go to. Because in China, out of every 100 students who graduates from high school, there are only 50 places for them in university. So parents there are looking for opportunities for their kids to go to school. You probably know lots of them come to the States. There are so many Chinese students in the States, but we're happy to get some of them too. The story of Christ College is really the story of our students, so I want to introduce you to just a few. This was our valedictorian this year, Eric Jung, from Wenzhou, China. Wenzhou is a very special region in China. It's a super business area, and it is a super Christian area. Some people have called it the Jerusalem of China. It's full of a people who have a great vision for taking the gospel to the world. Well, Eric was in the first group of students that came to us from China. There were only 6 students that year from China. Eric is the only one who has continued and hung in there and graduated at Christ College. And I was so surprised when he was valedictorian. He's a real quiet, mature, stable kind of guy. He's not a showy, flashy person. I didn't know his grades were that high. But he's the valedictorian. He talked about how touching it was to him that when he came to Christ College, the president met him at the airport. What kind of school is this where the president meets you at the airport? How everyone was so kind and loving and came alongside him during his 4 years at Christ College. Eric is planning to study his master's in business administration, his MBA, from Dallas Baptist University. He's applying right now. He wants to go back to China and to use his business connections to share the gospel with people there. Students like Eric will get into places in China where no missionary will ever go. Okay? He doesn't have a problem with a visa. He doesn't have a problem with raising support. He will be able to go in and use his business contacts to share God with people. So I'm happy to be a part of teaching Eric. The girl in the front is Amy. Ramona sees a couple familiar faces there, some of our MTW missionaries, Judy and Ann and myself. Amy graduated this year, but I taught Amy when she was a freshman in college composition. Amy came in with a high TOEFL score, that test of English language. She tested really well, but she came in, and the entire first year, she was like this. Her head was down. She wouldn't look anybody in the eyes. She wouldn't speak up in class. She was very, very slow at processing material. Very painfully slow and painfully shy. But now, Amy will come up to me in the halls, bump me in the arm and say, "Hey, look at my phone. Did you see the pictures I took last night?" She gets excited. She has just blossomed. She's had teachers who've been gentle and kind and who have come alongside her, and now she dares to raise her head and look you in the eye and share her exciting news with you. So it's been a great blessing to me to teach students like Amy. You may have heard me talk about Sam before, because Sam graduated in 2008, and I've been following her progress for a long time. Samantha, or Sam, came to us at Christ College. Well, she came to us with quite a difficult past. She had been in 17 different foster homes. She had been horribly abused by her family. And then she had become a Christian through a Southern Baptist missionary who did not speak Chinese, who was on the street handing out tracts. And Sam got one. And then she did go find a missionary who could speak Chinese and said, "Tell me more." And this missionary invited her to live in her home. She led her to Christ. She discipled her. Then she sent her to a children's home to work in the children's home with another set of missionaries. Well, she worked there, and they said, "We think you should go to Christ College. And when you go to Christ College, you should look for the whites." So she came to Christ College, her first day on campus. She walked up to my father, stuck out her head and said, hand and said, "Hi, I'm Sam." And that was the beginning of our relationship with Samantha. Samantha graduated in 2008. She was doing some translation for some short-term missionaries, one of whom was Chris. They fell in love. She came to the States, met his family, got married. They have 2 cute girls, and Josiah should appear any day now. This picture was taken a couple months ago. I know. I just thought she would surely have that child already, but she hasn't yet. Anyway, Sam has become such a huge blessing. not only to her own family, but to the children in the children's home that she and Chris are still working with, and to the churches that they're working with. And God has just made a huge difference in her life. I was telling the youth group that I get to teach intercultural communication in the spring. And these were three of my students who did the Maori tribe from New Zealand as their culture group for our culture fair. The two students on the left are from China. I don't always know the difference, but sometimes I remember. Two students on the left are from China. The girl on the right is named Yuna. She is hoping to transfer to Pensacola Bible College this year. I'm not sure she will. It wasn't my recommendation, but she might do it anyway. But it has been a joy to see Yuna. Her name is Yuna. Just grow this year while she's been at Christ College. She comes to the international church that we're a part of. She is in Bible study. She is in devotion. She is in chapel. She is in Bible class. And I've just watched her grow and grow this year. She came, started out as a baby believer, but she's grown a lot this year. And it's just fun to watch them step by step. This was taken just a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. We have some gospel associations at Christ College. We have teachers who advise them, but they're primarily student-led, student-initiated. And every winter and summer vacation, they go out to outlying areas to share the gospel. They do the vacation Bible school thing, like you guys did. They don't do so much construction work. They work with some older people as well as with the little kids. This group, the Seed Gospel Association, goes to the outlying Pescador Islands, Penghu, every summer and winter break. These are kids who are fairly underprivileged because they live in such a remote area. But our kids go out there. And so see that ripple effect, how you guys sent them and they impacted kids in Cherokee, and how you guys send me and I impact my students and my students impact those kids in the islands. Yeah, God's doing a lot of cool things that way. Just to end, I'd like to mention a couple of praise and prayer requests. I know you guys pray for Christ College, and I'm very thankful for that. We need a lot of prayer. Thankful that this year we will celebrate 56 years of God's faithfulness to Christ College. And next month, my parents and I are celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness to us since our call to Taiwan. I think this church has been involved with our family for 40 years. I don't have the exact dates, but it's been pretty much since the beginning of our time there. So thank you also for your faithfulness, and we're praising God for his faithfulness to Christ College. Most of you have followed the fact that we only joined Taiwan's Ministry of Education 3 years ago, and we joined an accreditation in the U.S. maybe 15 years ago. This fall, we will face our first official evaluation by Taiwan's Ministry of Education. And there's a lot of paperwork to do. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful God has brought us through the process, but we still need lots of prayer there. I'm thankful for our international students. In addition to our China students, this year we had students from Korea, from Malaysia, from Japan, from India, from the U.S., and maybe we'll get some more next year. They're even talking Africa and Kyrgyzstan. I don't know what it'll look like, but I'm kind of excited to see us get a little more international. I think it's good for us. Prayer request, please pray for the personnel at Christ College. We need missionary English teachers. I know many of you prayed with me for younger missionaries, and we did get a family, and they're a great family, but he's going to be the chaplain. He's not going to teach English. We need some missionary English teachers. I am currently the youngest missionary English teacher at Christ College, And you guys sent me out a long time ago, all right? So this is not good. We need the next generation. Got to have the next generation. That's you coming up, okay? Also, qualified local dorm counselors. All of our students are required to live on campus. It's not just a convenience thing. It's a design thing. We want them to be in community. We want them to learn how to live with different people. We want them to be there for dorm devotions. We want them to have to interact with different people. But we need qualified local dorm counselors. So if you would also pray for that, we need one man and one woman, at least one man and one woman to stand in the gap there. They need to be local people, local Christians. Picture of my brother and Abby. Many of you have prayed with us through the years for my brother. The young people might not know, he was 6 years on cocaine. And that was a pretty horrible period in his life, and many more years than that running away from God. But 2 years ago, God got hold of his life. He's been off drugs for 2 years. He's been in church for 2 years. He has a wonderful PCA church up in the Charlotte area. He is raising his daughter as a single parent, not an easy job. Last fall, he got a full-time job with benefits. And we're very thankful for God's work in his life, but we just ask you to keep praying for him, that God will keep working deeper and deeper in his life and in Abby's. Thank you.
Any questions for Becky?
Any questions? The young people were great at thinking of questions.
Becky, you mentioned how we can pray for you specifically and how the accreditation issue is a big issue for the college.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you need more people to help. How is the trajectory of the college overall? Would you say it's getting stronger? Is it holding on? And how we talk about how the culture is changing here.
Mm.
Is the culture changing there? And is that impacting your ability to do Christian education and gospel ministry?
Okay. I think we're on the upswing. We hit a low point with about 180 students 2 years ago. And it's very hard to maintain a school when you only have 180 students. So I think we're moving up. I think we're moving in a good direction, getting more international, getting more China students. We're actually able to do some things like put in an elevator this year, some repairs that we needed to the school. So I think we're on a good trajectory. I failed to mention that in the spring we are scheduling a Christian education conference. And I know you guys believe in Christian education. In Asia right now, there are a lot of Christians who want to know how to do Christian education. We've had inquiries from China, from Malaysia, from Indonesia, from a number of different countries. So in the spring, we're going to try to bring a lot of these people together to talk about Christian education. So that's another way I see that we're going to be able to have a strong impact. Is the culture changing? Yes. Taiwan has no basis for morality, actually. I mean, there's Confucius, right? Once upon a time, Confucius said you should honor your parents. But there's no real basis for morality. Without God, what is that basis? So, yes, the culture is changing. So far, we still have complete religious freedom. Taiwan is an interesting place religious-wise because everybody expects you to be spiritual of some sort. I mean, hey, you're Buddhist. Hey, I'm Muslim. Hey, you're Christian. Well, sure. It's kind of a live and let live philosophy. And I expect you to have Christian convictions, and I expect you to have your Muslim, you know. So far, we haven't had a lot of culture conflict that way. I'm not sure what that says, but anyway. so far, we have a lot of freedom. There's a lot of religious freedom in Taiwan. And our China students really appreciate that. When they come from China, they say, there's freedom here. We don't feel like somebody's watching us all the time. Yeah.
Any last questions before we break? Becky, on behalf of Second Presbyterian Church, thank you for what you're doing. It's extraordinary, and we're privileged to partner with you. And we'll close in prayer and then rise and sing. Thank you, young people, for your report. Hugh, would you close us in prayer tonight?
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the reports that we heard tonight. We thank you for this group of our young people who went to Cherokee. We thank you for what they accomplished while they were there. We thank you for what we heard. And Father, we also lift up to you and pray for Becky. We also pray for Christ College and the work that's going on there. We are thankful that you're using that and reaching out to many throughout the world, especially mainland China. So we pray for that. We also pray for the college itself, and we do pray that you'll raise up others that'll go and assist, especially those who can teach the English language there. So, Father, we look to you, and we pray for that. We pray that you'll raise someone up that'll do that. So, Father, again, we give you thanks for that. We thank you for tonight's visit from Becky, and we are thankful that her parents could join her tonight. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. We pray that you'll be with us as we leave this evening. Give us traveling mercies as we go to our homes. And these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.